Hey there, Dice Rollers. Thought I'd mix things up this week. Go analog with our game with one of my favourite board games, Talisman.
Clyde Computers is the home of Apple on the far south coast.
Game on!
Game on!
Now, as we all know, we weren't allowed to go outside and play for quite a while there, so a lot of families got into board games. So this is one of my favourites, and I've wanted to share it with you. It's called Talisman. Probably the best way I've heard it described is by one of my mates. It's a mix of Dungeons & Dragons and Monopoly. It is a fantasy setting with the board set up in three different regions. We've got the outer, inner, and center. So the aim of the game is to explore the regions, find a talisman, and head to the center. Sounds pretty simple, but when you land on a space and then a dragon with an attack strength of 7, and you've only got an attack strength of 2, well, it makes things interesting. Now the basics of the game is roll the dice, choose which direction you want to go, land on the space, draw a card, and interact with either the monster, the event, or item that has been drawn. Now, it will most likely lead to you rolling more dice, so there is a lot of luck involved in the game. Now, the question you're probably wondering is, Liam, how do I win? Well, it's pretty easy. You're just going to make your way to the center with a talisman. So when you're starting off, you're in the outer region. There's a few different ways to get to the inner region, which is either to face off against the sentinel, who's pretty strong, or you can build a raft, or you can roll well at the tavern. And once you're in the inner region and you've got yourself a talisman, head on over to the Portal of Power. Now, this is where you're powering up has paid off, because you've got to use either your strength or your craft to either bust the door down or pick the lock. So you roll 2 dice. It's got to be equal to or greater than your strength. And then you're into the center, which is very hard. So you choose left for strength or right for craft. And then you go through there. You got to face off against a bunch of bad guys to get to the center, which is the Crown of Command. So the way it works, if you're playing the regular rules, is you, for each turn you're in the Portal of Power, you roll a dice, and if you roll a certain number, people lose a life. It is counted as a spell, so if you've got a dispel card, you can use it against it. That's the long rule, so that's it. So that gives people the opportunity to go in there and kick you out. But if you want a quick game, then yeah, just do the race to the end. Reach the Crown of Command, you win. Now let's see what characters we're working with. So in the base game, you've got the Assassin, which has the special ability of Assassinate, which doesn't allow people to roll to add to their strength when you attack them. Now, if you're being attacked, you can't use Assassinate. And his alignment is evil, and he starts in the city. So he's got his 3 strength, 3 craft, 4 life, 3 fate, and 1 gold. Everyone starts with 1 gold. Moving on, we've got the Druid. So you can choose your alignment with the Druid. He starts off as neutral, but as different events affect different alignments, you can change it as you will. 2 strength, 4 craft, 4 life, 4 fate, and 1 gold. You got the Dwarf. So there's certain spaces that you have to roll dice in. So he's exempt from rolling dice in the crags and the chasm. You may evade creatures and characters in the hills. And after rolling the die in the cave, you may add 1 to your score. And you need only roll 1 die if you attempt to open the Portal of Power. So that becomes very handy, because it's easy to beat the Portal of Power with 1 die rather than 2. You got the Elf, who also has abilities where he doesn't need to roll into an area. So that's the forest. Unless you wish to, you may still roll if you want. You may avoid creatures in the woods as well. And if you're in the woods, you can move to any other woods in the area. He has good alignment. He starts off in the forest, so you can pretty much use that ability from the get-go. 3 strength, 4 craft, and 4 life, and 3 fates. Now you got the Ghoul. So when you attack another character, you may choose to make the attack psychic combat. It's using your craft, so unless you have that ability, you have to use strength, unless you're facing an enemy that uses craft automatically. Now he also has a cool ability. When you defeat a character in psychic combat, you can choose to take one of their lives instead of just damaging them, which is coming in real handy, because lives are great. Now also, if you kill an enemy, not including a character, you may use it as a follower after that. So yeah. Obviously, this guy is evil, so his alignment evil. He's got 2 strength, 4 craft, and 4 life, and 4 fate. You got the Minstrel. Animals and dragons will not attack you, although you may choose to attack them. If you do not attack an animal, you may attempt to charm it. So this is also similar to the Ghoul's ability, where you can get a follower. So you get a roll of 1 die. If you roll higher than the animal's strength, it joins you as a follower, and then you can use it in battle, and it makes your life a lot easier. 2 strength, 4 craft, 4 life, and 5 fate. So a lot of fate there, so that comes in handy. Now you've got the Monk. Due to your beliefs, you can add your craft to your strength when you're in the battle. After rolling the die when praying, you may add 1 to the score, and you may not use any weapons or armor during battle, which is a kind of a letdown, because weapons and armor do come in handy, but if you get yourself high enough strength, I guess it doesn't matter, but in this beginning, they do come in handy. Now you've got the priest, you begin the game with one spell. After rolling the die when praying, add one to the score, and you may choose to automatically destroy any spirits without resorting to psychic combat. When you destroy a spirit in this manner, you may not keep the enemy as a trophy, but you may gain one spell. So you lose the trophy, which you use to gain more craft, but you get a spell which can be used to help yourself or stop other players later. And again, you may not use weapons during battle. So you start off with chapel, good alignment, 2 strength, 4 craft, 4 life, 5 fate. So you got the prophetess as well. She begins the game with one spell. During the game, you always have at least one spell on you. That's handy because there'll be plenty of events to take spells off you. And whenever you draw an adventure card, you may discard one of them of your choice. So you draw two and you can discard one and you got to accept that one. At any time during the game, you may look at the spell cards held by other characters, which is very handy because there's spells that can really screw you over. So good alignment, 2 strength, 4 craft, 4 life, and 2 fate. You got the sorceress. You begin the game with one spell. When you attack another character, you may choose to make that attack psychic combat. So similar to the ghoul's ability, you may attempt to beguile a character that you land on, allowing you to take gold or other objects of your choice. To do so, roll the die. You must roll a 6 to beguile a good character, 5 or a 6 for a neutral character, or 4, 5, and 6 for an evil character. So if you're evil, you're much easier to be beguiled. You may take any one follower except the maiden, unicorn, or princess from any character that you land on. So, stealing is her thing. Speaking of stealing, we got the thief. Special abilities. You may take one object or gold from any character that you land on. Whenever you visit the market, market day, or village, you may take a card of your choice from the purchase deck for free. So, gold is kind of a little harder to come by because it's just one gold at a time. So, very handy. You got the troll, so he is able to not roll in the crags unless you wish to. If you choose to roll, you must accept the result. And when you roll a 6 with your movements, you may regenerate instead of moving. If you choose to regenerate, heal 1 life and your turn immediately ends. He is neutral. He starts off with a whopping 6 strength, which is very handy. 1 craft though, 6 life, 1 fate, and 1 gold. Now you've got the warrior. You may roll 2 dice in battle and use the higher attack roll to determine your attack score, and you may use 2 weapons at the same time. So that stacks the weapons abilities, making you very powerful very quickly. It's neutral, 4 strength, 2 craft, 5 life, and 1 fate. And you got the wizard. You begin a game with a spell like all the other spell bearers. During the game, you always have a spell on you, and when you attack another character, you may choose to make it psychic combat. He's an evil alignment, 2 strength, 5 craft, 4 life, 3 fates, and 1 gold. Now that's it for the standard characters. Now, you've heard me rattling on about fates. What exactly does fate do? Now, fate allows you to re-roll a die that you use. So if you roll a bad movement, you can use 1 fate during that turn to roll again. Or if you roll a bad attack, you can do the same there. So it does come in handy, so the more fate you have, the more second chances you have. Now, making your character stronger is very easy in this game. You just gotta defeat lots of bad guys. So bad guys, well, creatures and enemies will have either craft or strength. You battle them in that type, and then if you defeat them, you score a trophy, which just keep their card on you. And once you get 7 in either strength or craft, you get 1 extra strength or craft depending on the trophies you hand in. Very simple, and the more strength or craft you have will help you get through in the end. This game is very similar to video games where you have to grind to make your character stronger. So you go around the outer region for a while, make yourself stronger until you're strong enough to get to the center, and then you're ready to take on everything else.
Hot tips.
Some tips to help you excel in this game. If you're heading into the inner region, grab yourself a water bottle, because if you land in the desert, you will automatically lose a life. And there's 2 of those spots, so the odds are in your favor, but as you can choose whether you go left or right, it's not essential because you can avoid landing in it. But water bottles are handy. Donkeys are essential. There is a holding limit on items of 4 items, but if you get a donkey, it increases that by another 4. So if you got donkeys, you can carry way more items, and a talisman does count as an item. Now, if you don't have a talisman yet, the simplest way to get a talisman is heading over to the Warlock's Cave in the inner region and roll the dice there and take on one of the missions there. Although if you take on a mission, you have to finish it before you head into the Portal of Power. But you will automatically be teleported back to the Warlock's Cave once you finish the mission and given a talisman. And there's one thing to be very careful of in this game is you can be turned into a toad. So there's a few different ways this has happened, with whether it's through an event or if you head into the city and you talk to the Enchantress, you roll a die. If you roll a one, you will be turned into a toad. So what does being turned into a toad mean? It means you drop all your items and you've got 3 turns of hopping around one space at a time with only 1 strength, 1 craft, and you can die pretty easily. I mean, my record in one game of Talisman is being turned into a toad 3 times, so if you can beat that, let me know. Now, there are many expansions for Talisman. It's been around for quite a while. This is the 4th edition that's come out so far, but there are lots of expansions where you can add extra parts to the board, like the forest or the town, but just a little L shape on the corner. So there's 4 different versions of that. There's also a completely new board with Cataclysm, or there's just a smaller expansion with new characters, new rules, and NPCs as well. But there's also new additions that have recently come out. There's Talisman Batman, which is pretty much Batman skins, all the villains trying to get out of Arkham Asylum, and the newest Kingdom Hearts, which is very cooperative. There's actually no fighting between characters, which is nice, so it's definitely more family-friendly. Now, if you wanted to try it out before you buy, well, there is an app you can download from either the App Store or from Google Play. You get the basic game, and each week you get a different expansion to try it as well. So it's definitely a way to get your head around the rules as well, because it will not let you cheat. And that's this episode of Game On. It's all thanks to Clark Computers, the home of Apple on the South Coast. But what you might not know is that they offer delivery, installation, and training to your home or business.
Game on!
Yeah, game on!